We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on the call. Thankful to have those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We want you to know you are a very honored guest of the audience. You're the VIP of our audience. And we thank you so very much for being online with us today. And you're able to hear the truth of the gospel as we believe that the Bible is right. And we believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary's Hill in Jerusalem. He was executed by crucifixion, shed his blood. They will wash your sins away if you're baptized for the remission of sins. If you obey the gospel, you have a death, burial, and resurrection. You rise up a new creature, added to the only church you read about in the Bible. And that is the Church of Christ. The only one in there. I wouldn't tell you that if it wasn't true. It's the only church in there. The only one I'm ever preaching about. There's only one God, one Jesus, one church, one Holy Spirit, one baptism. You might have been baptized 10 times, but only one baptism. That one baptism, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, puts you into one church by one Spirit, or all baptized into one body. The body is the Church of Christ. If you're not in the Church of Christ and you're baptized, that wasn't the correct baptism. You need to do it again. I encourage you to do it soon. Do it immediately. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Do it immediately. I remember a time when I was not a member of the Lord's church, didn't know these basic truths, accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Was baptized weeks later. Everybody in the Bible was baptized on the same day. That same day, why? Because baptism saves, according to Peter. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism. So there's also now save us. You're not saved until you're baptized according to truth. And that's why I'm telling you that up front. And to our brothers and sisters in Christ from other locations, you're so welcome. So happy to hear so many joining us in service. We've got over 800 in the services this morning, which is an awesome number for our attendance. And we're thankful to God that everyone is joining in with us. And we pray now that you'll study with us from the Word of God. We continue now study of the book of Revelation. And Revelation is chapter number 6. We're all the way up to chapter 6 now. And this morning, sermon title, The Lamb Opens the Seven Seals. The Lamb Opens the Seven Seals. Remember now, last week we learned that there was a book that had seven seals. And Jesus, being the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, was the only worthy one to open the book. Now in chapter 6, the Lamb opens the book. In chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says there, and John said, I saw. This is John now, John the Apostle, on the Isle of Patmos. He's going to see a vision. You got to go there with me to really enjoy this lesson. You have to see everything he sees. Use your mind's eye. I'll try to present it in a way where you can follow along in a very simplistic way of understanding. The Bible says that John says, I saw. What you see, John? I saw when the Lamb opened the one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of a thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, as you see, now in this verse, we see seal number one. You write down, if you're taking notes, seal number one, to tell you what the first seal is. John said, he said, I saw the Lamb. So he see Jesus. The Lamb is opening it up. He see there with his mind's eye. He's in a vision. He's seeing this all come to be. It's a revealing of information by Jesus to him. So Jesus got him. He's in the spirit. He's revealing this information to him. He said, I heard something. I saw the Lamb open the book. He said, then I heard this great noise. What was it kind of noise? Was it, John? It sounded like thunder. Then what happened? He said, it's one of the angelic beings, four beasts that we talked about. That's some angels. He said that angel said, come and see. John said, I want to see the vision. So let's see what John saw. Verse 2, John said, I saw. Yeah, what you see, John? A white horse. Behold, he said, look. Behold means look. John was talking to us. He said, look there, I see you. What you see, John? A white horse. Okay, what's on it? He someone sitting on it. He that sat on the horse, on him. This guy got a bow and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Y'all stay with him now. So you see John. What y'all see? John see a white horse. He seen Jesus open this book, the first seal. Seal meaning there was locked pages on it. Like he unlocking them, the first one. No one could else unlock it. Jesus got the keys. So he's unlocking this seal. And then John gets to look in the book. John see a horse. a horse, a white horse. Yeah, not just it was a white horse. And he said the person on the horse had a crown and a bow in his hand. Crown on his head, a bow in his hand. So then he said, then he tells us what this guy is doing that's on this horse. He's conquering. He's conquering and to conquer. Now let me say that. Let me say this real clear. There are a lot of theories of today as to what this means when you start studying Revelation. And I have read many of those theories and by these false teachers and those who call themselves prophets. But one thing you can rest assured, man don't have all the answers. The safest way is to let the Bible interpret itself for us as much as possible. Line up on line, precept on precept. Let's find out, is there more information on this white horse? But before I do that, I want you to keep this in mind. It is dangerous to try and apply revelation to things happening today. That's what these guys are trying to do. They try to make most of everything in Revelation has already occurred, with the exception of judgment. And most of it occurred during the time of John. Why you say that, Brother Brooke? Because Jesus told John in Revelation 1:1, he would show things which would shortly come to pass. Now, Revelation 1:3, Jesus said, the time is at hand. It was going to happen. In Revelation 22:6-7, 9, 10, 20, Jesus repeats himself. He said, it would happen shortly, quickly. So all these things were happening during the first century, and much of what you're going to hear about is what went on at that time. It was something that would come to be during the life of John and the first century Christians. The only thing that's remaining to occur that applies to us is the second coming of Jesus and then the judgment. And that's not going to happen. And no matter what these guys say out here, listen, only the Father can call the day of judgment. And that's what Jesus said. Only when God the Father, angels don't know, neither do the Son. Now, man today is caught up in a maze of confusion because men and women now, unfortunately, trying to preach, are trying to preach the prophets of divine revelation as if they're getting information that no one else can think they got this deeper understanding. We can't get it, those of us in basic education. No one today living as a prophet. When we got the New Testament and it was finished, the perfect came and all those things. There's something, however, that we cannot know. The day COVID came is not a prophecy. There's a lot of things that happened that are not recorded in the scripture. Deuteronomy 29:21 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. But the things which are revealed belong to us, to our children, that we may do all the words of the law. Now, I took the time to say that so that everybody knows that when you're listening to these people coming up with these books and things about this is a sign of the end of times, this is not a sign of the end of times. There is no sign of the end of times other than Jesus appearing in the sky, and then it's too late. He's coming as a thief in the night. So don't run scared on me. Don't run afraid of what man is saying. But let's go back to see what John said. I saw this horse. So what this horse is about, and where? Who is that sitting on? I tell you, turn your Bible now to Revelation 19. When I say the Bible answers itself, line up on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. It's called rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible never contradicts itself. And so let's turn to Revelation 19, verse 11. He said, I saw heaven open. And behold, there he is again. John said, I saw heaven open. This 19th chapter, a white horse. There he is. There's a white horse again. And he that sat up on him, they identified who's on the horse, the faithful and true. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Verse 12, his eyes were as flame of fire. His head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew But he himself, watch this now, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of the mouth of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Here you go, you're going to tell him who it is. So you ain't got to guess it, just read the Bible. Let it do it. And here you go, tell him, who is that, John? Who are you talking about with this faithful and true, this eyes of fire and head with many crowns and no man knew? And who had the vesture on, John? With that been dipped in blood? Who is it that's called the name of God? Who is it that have all these folk following him, white horses, clean? They've been cleaned up, white and clean. And who is this with this sharp sword coming out of his mouth, ruling? John answers in verse 16. He had it on his vesture and on his thigh, a name written. Here he is. King of kings and Lord of lords. The Bible just answered. Who did John see that day? He saw Jesus, the King of kings. Yeah, I think about them horse, the cowboy with them chaps on down their legs. It looked like down his leg had King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, y'all remember? They took his vesture when he was on the cross. They just ordered to gamble over his clothes. They rent out his vesture. And when they put it back on, they had beat him with that whip before they took him up. He had wore that vesture to the top of the hill where they executed him. And he would bleed so bad that John revealed he had on a vesture, but his wound looked like it had been dipped in blood. That means by the time he got to the cross, the vesture he wore was soaking wet in blood. You dip something, it drips. This is a sad occasion that our Lord had bled that bad. And John said, that's who was on that horse. It was Jesus. Turn to Revelation 17:14. Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The Lamb shall overcome them. You see that? For he is the Lord. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. So they identify the Lamb was overcoming or conquering. Remember this. Only through Jesus Christ can we be overcomers and conquerors. Victory in Jesus. The horse that is a white horse. The horse itself symbolizes one who's going to war. The white color of the horse symbolizes purity. The bow was a symbol of a warlike weapon, and the crown he wore showed that he was victorious. Jesus gave his life yonder on Calvary. Cruel Calvary. Paved the way by blood that he might win a bright shining crown. Praise his holy name. Salvation has been brought down. Who was on that white horse? It was Jesus. Let's go to verse 3 now and get the second seal. When he opened the second seal, it says that when he had opened the second seal, he said, I heard the voice. I heard the second beast say, come and see. Come and see. There went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that set thereupon to take peace from the earth. They should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Here's another horse. Seal number 2. John seal red horse this time. Anytime you see red, denotes bloodshed. He took peace, which means there is nothing but war left. Suffering. Persecution of the people who were conquered by the one on the white horse. See another horse. And the power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Something we must never forget. At the time John them lived, the early Christians, first century, they were being killed. Many of them was burned stake by stakes and hung upside down. Some historians say Peter was hung upside down. Jerusalem is recorded in Josephus in Jewish history. They were killed because they were Christians. Remember in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Apostle Paul, that time was Saul. Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time, there was a great persecution. Those who was against the church, which was at Jerusalem. That was then. They were going through a great persecution. They were all scattered abroad. It is the first time you see where the church didn't assemble in one place anymore because of love of life. The Church of Christ in Jerusalem allowed those members to go to their houses and stay there until it was safe. That's my position on what we're doing. We're just in our houses right now. We're scattered all over Houston. Cause of COVID-19, the fact that we could cause one of our loved ones to lose their life. And here it is in the Bible, where the elders and apostles did the same thing. They stopped meeting in one place and they scattered them. Y'all go, because they're going to kill you. That's why we don't go to the building, because we don't want none of our members dead with this silent killer. So here's a biblical example. As the first century church did it too. Many of the early Christians gave their lives. And I believe John was the only apostle that died a natural death. But the rest of them were either beheaded or hung upside down. Some of them were pulled apart, driven with stakes. So when Jesus conquered salvation, it brought about bloodshed of people who bleed. That's why Jesus told us, be faithful unto them. He wasn't talking about until the day you die. He was telling them, you be faithful even if you have to die. But these people was preaching it anyway. Stephen got stoned to death, kept preaching it. Some will lose their lives over this. They will lose, many of us Christians will lose their life in preaching Jesus. They also protected others from losing their lives. Women and children sent home, scattered everywhere. Paul now says in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, that all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. We're going to have a persecution ourselves. And it may not be, it won't be like the first century Christians were persecuted. We're not being persecuted by our government right now to not worship. That's not why we're not worshiping. It's not that they're doing this. They're threatening to kill us. We can go if we want to. We can defy the laws of the land. We can go to the building and get people sick and let them die. But we have to fight persecution other way. We have all other kind of persecutions in this world. We're still suffering. If any man suffer, Peter said, let him suffer as a Christian, not as an evildoer. Back to Revelation 6. When he had opened the third seal, so the first seal, white horse, second seal, another horse, a red horse, third seal, I heard the third beast come say, come and see. And I just said, I look, I beheld, and lo, look at that, another horse, a black horse. And he that sat on had a pair of balances in his hand. A black horse was, at this time, a black horse was riding with the rider holding a pair of balances. A balance is like a scale. You ever see some, you put them on a scale, got two things, and they balance out. Yeah, but most of you probably know what a scale is. But I, if I was standing in front of you, I'd be using my hand, one hand, left hand, right hand, you know, and the scale balances. And when they equal balance, they stop. If one's too heavy, it goes to the left or go to the right. But then they're measuring weight. So during verse 6, he said, I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny. So the weight is weighing wheat, and it's the cost of it is a penny. And three measures of barley for a penny. So you can get a measure of wheat, and you can get barley. Sounds like something they need to eat. And see thou hurt not the wine, the oil and the wine. Now, wheat, measure of wheat, measure of barley, that's food, the necessity of life, with oil and wine. And I like the, not like what y'all, some of y'all do on that. I know you probably. Yeah, you know, I guess if I was up there, I'd ask y'all to kind of help me. That's why I miss being Brother Oldman Reader. He could tell me what kind of wine that people drinking today. Yeah, but that, back then when I was growing up, it was Mad Dog 2020. But he's not talking about that. This is not that. These are medicines of relief in times of persecution. That's what Paul told Timothy, take a little while for your stomach's sake. So what's going on here? These essential items were scarcely measured for the saint. They're scattered. The horse is still a war. These Christians are having to fight to stay alive. The color of the horse is black. This is a symbol of mourning, darkness, and hard times. This was hard times for those who call themselves Christians. This was obviously a condition of famine and hard times. So here's what John sees. It was for those who were being conquered. He see a white horse. Christ, we've identified, was one of them. He was conquering the church. Victory over death. And after he done that, the second horse will be the bloodshed of those persecuted in the church, first century. The black horse will be the suffering. That's why Peter wrote about it. That's why Peter wrote about what those Christians were going through. When he said, if any man suffer, let him suffer as a Christian. So what's going on here is in Revelation, John is being told that those Christians were going through those suffering. So John is aware of what is being taught by Jesus. He understands this revelation. He understands what's going on, and he understands why Jesus had to come to this earth. As a result of him coming, then the Christians will lose their lives. Many of us would have gave our life. Many of us would have gave our life for the cause of Christ. Ever thought about that? He's the one on the horse. Victory is in Jesus. He's opening up these seven seals. We see him on the white horse. We see him, the red horse, and all those bleeding. And we see the dying and suffering. They were suffering. And Peter said it like this. He said, the eyes of the Lord are open over the righteous, and the ears are open to their prayer. God had not left them. 1 Peter 3:12. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled. They were telling them, your suffering is because of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord in your heart. And be ready to give an answer to every man that asks for reason of the hope within you. Peter was letting them know that you're going to have to suffer in this life. And then when we suffer in this life, it is something that you got to prepare for. It's coming in the day when the Lord will take us back out. And he's not willing that we perish, but that we come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:10 And the verse is 19. So what are you saying? Well, you know, as the Christians in the first century suffered, so will we. We're going to have every day is not going to be a day of sunshine. It's going to be days when we suffer as a Christian. But there's no reason to be ashamed. You're not suffering as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer. You're suffering, and it could be related to your family and friends and people who disown you because you're a member of the Lord's church and you're suffering now because you're a Christian and you're standing on truth. Many people who you call my name, they may not care much about me because of what I teach. What I teach, what am I teaching? One Lord, one faith, one church. It's not popular. Stand with New Testament worship. The part of our suffering is we'll be called names and all those holding to traditions and all that. Yeah, we hold to the traditions of the epistles of the New Testament. We hold to the pattern of worship of the New Testament. Our suffering comes in different ways than theirs. But Peter was warned in 1 Peter 4, you can go over there. And told them something was going to continue. And so here it is in Revelation. John knows what's going on and what this means to him. Think about John. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 6. And I was just quoting things out of 1 Peter 3 and 4. You can go over there and read it. In Revelation 6, verse 7, let's see what's in the fourth seal here. And when he opened the fourth seal, he said, I heard the voice of the four beasts say, come and see. So the angels keep saying, okay, you saw the first one, you saw the second one, and here comes, you saw the third, and here comes the fourth one. And John is getting ready to see what's going to be in that fourth, another horse. John said, I looked, and behold, this time it's a pale horse. He's not white, he's not black, he's not red. He paled. The name that sat on the horse on him was Death. Oh, my goodness. Death riding on the horse. Death was fourth in line. Christ, blood, suffering, and here comes death. When a person dies, they bleed, they suffer, and then they die. And hell followed with him. And this word hell means grave. If those who do the Greek thing, they would tell you the Hadean word, Hades. I kind of try to stick with English. And it means the grave, the place of those who've gone on to that other place. It's either paradise or torment. like rich man and Lazarus. So after death, there comes the grave. Which, so the grave always follows death. Well, I tell y'all, tell all of us, you at home right now, the death's sitting right next to you. Is you waiting on God to say, go ahead, put him on the horse. He's got an empty saddle. It's for you. You're going to get the ride, the pale horse. I'm going to get the ride, the pale horse. We all going to ride the pale horse. Unless Jesus come back first. One other man wants to die, but after that, there's a judgment. I want to say to all of us, get ready. The horse has a saddle on it already. Your name will be called. You're going to ride it. I'm going to ride it. Everywhere you go, when you go to the doctor's office, there'll be a horse standing there waiting. Driving in your car, pale horse is waiting. You know what else is waiting? The graveyard. Because that's where he's going to take you to. Mourners are in the street. Solomon said, the horse is on the way. And your hair is turning gray. You can't hardly walk. He said, you better remember your creator in the days of your youth. Your teeth wear out. To our young people, you need to get the Lord in your life now. To our young adults, your almond tree may never flourish. In other words, your hair may never turn gray, because the pale horse can come at a young age. That's why you need to be baptized. You need to get your life right, because Jesus rode in on a white horse. And all those behind it, they rolled and washed white. The pale horse takes you to the grave. But then if you conquer it, you ride in on a white horse. And power was given to you over the part of the earth to kill with the sword. Death got power, man. Death taking them out right there. COVID-19, all over TV. God is reminding us in a mighty way. Y'all forgot why death exists. God is letting the world know who he's king of this world. He's in control. You can blame Wuhan, China. You can blame the White House. But God is the one in control. Man can only do what God allows. And God can take that same man, as Brother Stroud taught us in Daniel 4. A king, you think that Trump got the power? He can control what goes on in this world? You're not a believer in God. Those of us who believe in God, don't give him that kind of power. It's a disgrace to God. God is in control. Just like Nebuchadnezzar made it. Putting down made him like eat grass like an oxen. God can take any leader down, take him down to like an animal. We can't do that. What I'm trying to get us to see is that when God say death don't come on a man, it don't matter who he is. There was a great philosopher named Nietzsche. He's trying to teach against the Bible. God is dead. Put it on billboards everywhere. God is dead. Sound Nietzsche. God is dead. Sound Nietzsche. Years later, Nietzsche dead. Another billboard went up. Nietzsche is dead. Sound God. God signs off on death, y'all. Hebrews 9:27. And meantime, the doctors try to put the families in a position, you know, where you take them off the machine, you can put them on the machine. Let me tell you something about that. If that machine is what kept them alive, then you lost your belief in God. God caused death. And for those who say I died and I came back. That you was never dead. The Bible says Hebrews 9:27 is pointed unto man. Who appoints it? God. He determines 70 if by reason 80. Psalm 90. What about a reason? I mean, the body won't last that long. You get up 80, 90, 100 years old. Look at the numbers. Look at the obituary. The Bible is right. Every word of the Bible is right. Death is coming, y'all. Oh, Brother Brooks, you're scaring me. Well, you know, if you fear God, you don't have to fear death. Why you say that, brother? Ecclesiastes 12:13. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We ought to fear God and keep his commandments. And this is the whole duty of man. God shall bring every work into judgment, whatever secret thing will it be good about. Well, you want all that washed away. That's why you get the baptism. You go to government Jesus for the cleansing power. That stuff don't come up on judgment because you've been cleansed. You're on a white horse. Yeah, going up there because God gonna remember your sins. He said, I'll remember your sins no more. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I got washed in the bloodline. That's why I took that communion this morning. Because that baptism is in blood for the remission of sins. We drink the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. This is the blood of the New Testament. We were shed for many for the remission of sin. That's what he said. So when we look at it, why I'm a Christian? Because I want to be on that white horse, right behind Jesus, King of Kings. And I know the pale horse is coming to get me. Well, yeah, once I get to the grave, I'm going on and get on the white horse. Yeah, I'm going to ride my white horse. I'll be right there with Jesus. Right there with Jesus. Oh, mine too. Yeah. Then I'm going to follow him and ride on the white horse. That's up, y'all. All you Christians, y'all be saying amen. Amen right about now. You know, you can say amen at home. Just say amen. I want my white horse. Y'all, I was preaching this. Somebody called me. I think my mother-in-law said she wanted her a stone, white stone, when I first preached a revelation. Yeah, yeah. See, repentance and remission of sin would be preached in Jerusalem. In Matthew 26:28, he said, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But Jesus said, Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, except you repent, you're going to die in your sin. Where I am, you can't come. You can't go to heaven if you ain't been washed. But one thing for sure, you know, that's what I've noticed about Bible scholars, those who are supposed to be so smart. No one debates death. You know, you got some who are trying to say, what are you doing now? You know, you do this or that, and they debate different issues. But at the end of the day, nobody questions death. Why? It's in our face. We know it's happening. We see the hearse. Your hearse is coming. The wheels are rolling your direction. You just don't know when it's going to stop. But it's coming. It's on the way. Can you hear it? Can you hear the wheels turning? If it's a wagon, kind of be noisy coming your way. So the older you get, the louder the sound gets. Why? The reality of it is, we believe God meant what he said. The reality of it is, you don't have to have no faith to believe in death because you see it. You have to have faith to believe that there's blood and water to wash away your sin. You have to have faith to step in there believing that Jesus hung on the cross and you didn't see him. You ain't got to have no faith to ride his pale horse. You got to have faith to ride on the white one. This rider, death, the horse is fighting. Pale, bloodless color of the dead. The rider's name. Yeah. Ain't no blood circling in the dead, man. They turn pale. What happens if they won't go to the grave? And this, and somebody say, we read hell in the New Testament. You read hell in the New Testament in the King James Version. It's not Gehenna. I'm going to use those words. You know how I am about this Greek stuff. But y'all know what the burning hell is when we talk about the bottomless pit or that place where that everlasting, after judgment, everybody go to Gehenna. Gehenna. Or hell. And there's two ways to hell to you. Hell is used as a grave. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock, I will build my church in the gates of hell. He was talking about the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. God got him up. But the lake of fire, the second death, is the hell that where the devil is going. And he's king of that bottomless pit. This is not talking about that. That's where people are going to be burned in everlasting fire. That ought to scare us. You don't want to come to God because you're scared of hell. God wants you to come to him because the man on the white horse gave you victory over death. He wants you to come because he loved you that much. He wants you to come to God, to him. The Father wants you to come to him because of the one on the white horse with the chaps on, the King of Kings and Lord. He wants you to love him. He wants you to love his son. You have to fear death because you love God and you love his son. You come not because you fear going to hell. You come because you love him. You love him for what he did. He gave you a way not to ever worry about going to hell. That's why I never missed the church. Soon as we can assemble, I'm going back to the building. Anybody on this call who believes you're going to be okay just doing a phone call every Sunday, we are to go back to the place and worship in spirit and in truth like God told us. We're not forsaken right now. We're prevented because people's health and death could kill us. People could die. But when this is over with, and anyone who don't come back to the building, start back to fellowship and worshiping like God told us to do in one place, you will be in sin. You're forsaken at that point. You're not prevented. I'm hoping that it happens real quick. And many of the early Christians would die by sore, by hunger, and beasts. Keep in mind, these things John could understand that would soon be happening to the Christians he was around. So the fifth seal comes, as I hasten on, verse 9. The fifth seal clarifies and identifies who he was talking about. When he opened the fifth seal, John said, I saw under the altar the souls. Your body dies, spirit returned to God, the soul going to live on. So these are people who have died, and that is just their soul of them that were slain for the word of God. These are Christians who were dying because they were preaching the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Can y'all see that? See, the Bible is interpreting itself. You don't have to guess, just keep reading. And notice these people. They're in the same place Abraham's bosom where Lazarus went. And they are there. And they was asking, they said, how long, O Lord? Holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on earth? They're saying, these people, imagine this. There has to be something that's going through John's mind right now. All them Christians that he knew and loved, he had to go to the Isle of Patmos and the souls who died as a result of preaching the word of God and teaching it. Their souls still are, not their bodies. You never get this body you got now back. It'll never come back. You won't come back like this. It'll be a new body. It won't be flesh and blood. But they there. They're slain. These are brothers and sisters in the Church of Christ. That had to be an encouraging moment for John to know that these brothers and sisters in Christ was yet alive and able to speak. He was just saying, Lord, how long are you going to let the rest of our family go through what we went through? They're killing them down there, Lord. And you know what they should encourage us? It encourages me to think my wife is on that white horse because she obeyed the truth. It encourages me to know that our loved one who obeyed the truth said, Lord, when we get to be back with our people, when we going to stop all that going on in there? When would death stop? It should encourage us to fight on. Physical death is not the end, but it's the beginning of eternal life. It's the beginning of everlasting life. with God on a white horse. I want my horse, y'all. I want a white robe. Notice in verse 11. And white robes, here they are, were given to every one of them. And it was said unto them, they should rest. See, they would say, Lord, how long is it going to be? And so they gave, put your white robe on, and kind of rest. You need to rest. Don't worry about it. Remember Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Y'all remember that? Because they are, here he is again saying, you get your white robe, and then you get to rest. When you enter into the joys of life, there's rest for your soul. There's rest for your soul. I'm so thankful that you're entering in to the joys of life. And the Hebrew writer said, if you enter in, God said through him, Hebrews chapter 4, you enter into, God said, my rest. There remaineth a rest to the people of God, Hebrews 4:9. He that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did for us. Verse 11, let us labor therefore, y'all, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall off. And the same example of unbelief. You got to believe this. Oh, this is so good. I know I got to stop. But since I can't see y'all and none of y'all are going to sleep on me, nothing like that, I'm going to just finish it up. Give me a while. I'm in verse 11. White robe were given unto one of them, and it was said to them, they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed. See, God already knows where you're going to go. He said they're going to be killed. They got more going to be killed, John, as they were. Just like them that here got killed, going to be more get killed. It should be fulfilled. See, Jesus gives to the saint who was crying how long. He said, here's your robe. I want you to rest for a little while. They're going to come home. But see, the gospel had to be preached. Somebody had to be preaching that gospel. Now, if that's the command he gave them, he told them to be faithful unto dying. Even if you have to die, keep preaching this gospel. And Jesus tells them who cried out alone, you rest until them other people come. Who's those other people, Lord, that's going to come? Your fellow servants and the brothers. Brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why the psalmist said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. See, God don't see death like we do. When we die in the Lord, it's precious. Y'all come on up and rest. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. There will come a day, a church, when all the saints will go marching home. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number. Don't worry about our brothers and sisters who died in Christ, dead and gone. One day, we'll reunite with a new body. The dead in Christ will rise first, be caught up together with them with the resurrection of the dead. Revelation 6, verse 12 to 16. That's 2 Thessalonians 4, 13, 18. I quote you, read that. John said, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell and unto the earth, even as a fig tree. Casted her untimely fig, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, and when it rolled together, every mountain and the island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and great men, and the rich men, and keep captives and mighty men, every bond man, every free man, every slave, every free man, every rich person. They start to hide themselves. They hid themselves in dens and in rocks and mountains. And said to the mountains, they start asking the mountains, fall on us, hide us from the face of him which sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who gonna be able to stand? See, this is the point where the sixth seal, this is the announcement of judgment. This seal cannot represent final judgment because the seventh seal hasn't been opened. It's not, so we know for a fact that it's not final judgment because we're still living. We're still here. But it has been now. There's going to be a day of wrath. It's going to be a day. When the day comes, they're asking, who's going to be able to take it? Who's going to be able to stand? This seal, this is certainly not the end of the world. Fleeing the hills would be of no help. This obviously represents symbolically a time when strong, tough, mighty men are scared to death of an angry lamb. So those who insist that the opening of the sixth seal portrays the end of the world, and that's what a lot of them are trying to do now, should bear in mind not only that the chain of events continue, these chains of events continue through chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. We will learn only when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet, chapter 11, verse 15, that the proclamation is made that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of the Lord holistically and Christ. But they should keep in mind also that the scene behind, beheld, or saw by John are not literal fulfillments of this vision. What do symbols signify? The earthquake, blackened sun. What are the falling stars all about? Moving mountains of the sixth year are not to be regarded as literal any more than the pale horse or the fourth seal. They're symbolic. It has a meaning. So now here's what, let me sum it up for you. Here's what I believe. Now you'll read commentaries from others. Some of you will probably do that. And you start reading these commentaries, just be careful. It's a comment of a man. Commentary is just some man's comment. That means he's right. So I'm saying here's my understanding of what I'm studying. I give it to you like this. I believe, Brother Brooks, that when you read this chapter, it's consistent with the Bible. Six basic things happened in the first century. When these things happened during the life of John and those Christians. Seal number one, Jesus came and died on the cross and became a conqueror. Seal number two, those who followed him had to shed blood, the red horse. Seal number three, there will be Christians because of the white horse that will suffer darkness and persecution. Seal number four, they would die and be buried in a grave. What he was telling them, many Christians, John, are going to die. And then seal five, those who had already died are now living souls, speaking. They're instructed by Jesus. Just wait and rest. Seal six, judgment is announced, but it's not carried out. Now, when you read on chapter seven, you're going to see the first thing that comes in chapter seven. You will find that those who are on the white horse are sealed. And you have four angels on four corners of the earth, which means judgment has not been released. It's not until God says release, angels drop their hands in judgment at that point. Jesus will come back. The only sign you're going to see is Jesus in the air. That's it. We'll come as a thief in the night. Not going to announce himself. Thieves don't announce themselves. He just show up. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in him this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I want to say something to you. God has done his part. God sent Jesus. And the first ride he took on an animal was a donkey. He was Hosanna in the high. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He went in to carry out the will of his Father. And the will of his Father was, brothers and sisters and friends, especially to our visitors, the will of his Father, but that his son would die for you. So that when you ride the pale horse and you go to the grave, you get off of him and get on the white one. The only way you can get on the white one is you got to have a white robe on. And the only way you can have a white robe on, you got to go to Jesus for the cleansing power and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. In Revelation chapter 7, John seen a great number of people. John asked, John, Revelation 7 verse 14, asked John, who are these people that you see? John said, sir, you know, tell me. And he said, these are they who came out of great tribulation, washed their robes, that's the ones on that horse, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, serve him day and night. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun shine on any of them. But the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. See, these people had their blood robe washed. So when did they have the robe washed? In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Listen to this now. Revelation 1 5. Jesus said, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kingdom of the earth, unto them that loved us and washed us from our own sin, for our sin in his own blood. So it's the blood that it was in the vesture that we talked about. The one on the white horse had a bloody vesture. That's when he was hung on Calvary. That's when he got off the donkey and he met with his apostles and they beat him with the whip. Because they scourged him. He stood before Pilate. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And he's got this vest on. The blood is coming from the thorns. The blood is coming from the whipping that he took. They lead him up a hill called Calvary. And they get him up there. And they drive the nails in his hand. They drive the nails in his feet. And the vest they took off was bloody. And the vest was dipped in blood. Then they buried him in a borrowed tomb. He suffered death. He dead. He rode the pale horse. He suffered. He shed his blood. Then he rode the pale horse, but grave couldn't hold him. He got up early on a Sunday morning with all power in his hand, and he got up as conquering, as a victory, with victory. He conquered death and hell. He got up, y'all. He said, go and tell all the world that I got up with power. And now he rides on a white horse with the chaps on his legs, saying, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Carry out the mission. Tell them what I did for them. If they believe it, he said, baptize them. Well, I'm a baptizer. Be washed so their sins can be washed away. What's going to wash away their sins? He just said, him that loved us, that's Jesus, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Apostle Paul recorded, the Bible records that Paul was killing Christians And Jesus met him. Said, "What you doing?" And he got down and started praying. I can imagine he would pray. "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to kill. I repent." And God, ever since somebody tell you what to do about your, what you done was killing Christians, I'm going to tell you how to get that right. So he sent Ananias to him. Ananias 22:16. He was down praying. And praying wasn't going to save him. The preacher said, "Get up. What you waiting on? Be baptized. Wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord." You can't call on God's name until you've been washed in the blood. You ain't going to get no white robe until you get baptized. You can't go to heaven. When you get baptized, you'll never ride on a white horse, but you're going to ride the pale horse. You're going to ride him. Surely death's coming. I don't know about y'all. I heard that gospel story of the suffering Savior. I believe it with all of my heart. It's just death. You got to hear it, Acts 15 and verse 7. You got to hear the word of the gospel and the word of God that has about how Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And Peter told him like this in Acts 15:7. He says, "And when there was much dispute, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear it comes, the word of the gospel." What was on that, what the one riding on the horse, the white horse, was the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, and the word became flesh. That's Jesus. We preach in Jesus. We preach the word of God. We preach the gospel. We preach the death, burial, and resurrection of a Savior who rode the white horse. You believe that? Believe it with all of your heart. Repent right now. Right now where you say, "Brother Brooks, I need to get washed in the blood today. Can you do it?" I say, "Yeah." You hit 5-star on that phone if you're a visitor, and we'll get you to the building. We'll get you to the building today. If you're not in Houston, we'll get you to the building wherever you are. And they will baptize. You've got to get washed in the blood. Now, I'm going to tell you, next week, only those who washed in the blood have been sealed. That's coming. But it's dangerous stuff coming to those who have never been sealed. And then the Lord would add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. You must confess with your mouth what you're going to confess on judgment. That is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Every mouth will confess, every knee will bow. You got to do it now. Jesus said, "Confess me before men, I confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'm going to deny you." Matthew 10:32 and the verse 33. That's in your book. God at one time winked at Abraham, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Then after that, you got to be baptized. Why? Jesus commanded it. The one on the white horse said it. He said, "Do it." You're going to ride your pale one, but you better be done what the king said. The king said in Mark 16:15-16, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in it is baptized." It was the King of Kings who got up in Matthew 28:18, said, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go teach all the nations." He said, baptizing them. You got to be baptized to get your sins washed away. Just because you've been baptized before does not mean you had the one baptism. The one baptism puts you into the one church. So if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you have not obeyed from the heart the true doctrine. 1 Corinthians 12:13, "By one spirit are we all baptized into one church." If you're a member of the Lord's church, just remember you're going to ride that pale horse. And those of us who are in no such thing, once saved, always saved. If you have been missing worship and you are now on this call, you've been joining the call, you have not repented, you have not made your confession before us, you need to make a confession. You need to get your life restore, and then you commit that you're going to stay faithful to God. Even when we get off this conference call, you are coming back to the building. You start coming back and serving. You need to be working in ministry. You need to be doing everything you can to be in the right standing with God. You need to be drinking the blood every Sunday. So if you're on this call, you have not been assembled. You've been forsaken. You are in sin. You need to repent and make your confession. So here's what I'm talking to. Here's what if you can start hitting it out. Hit 5-star on your phone if you want to be baptized. If you're a visitor and you want to be baptized or you want to further Bible study, you hit 5-star on your phone so we'll know who you are and we'll make sure we finish the study with you. If you're on the call and you understand what you need to do, we will get you baptized. If you're in the Houston area, we'll take care of you. You don't even have to be on the north side of Houston. We'll get you to a Church of Christ close to your location. and we'll get their brother to baptize you for us. It don't matter what building you go to, as long as it's the Church of Christ and they're teaching sound doctrine. It does matter which Church of Christ you go to, because some of them are not teaching sound doctrine. But sound doctrine means they're teaching you exactly what the Bible said do. So you contact me, I'll put you in touch with somebody. Raise your hand, 5-star, if you need prayer this morning. 5-star if you want to be baptized. 5-star if you want to make confession. We're going to sing the invitation song. You can start hitting 5-star on your phone right now if you need prayer requests. Those who are members of the church who want us to pray for you, hit 5-star. Those who are visitors who want to get baptized, you go ahead and hit 5-star on your phone. Hit 5-star on your phone. We'll baptize you today. Make that confession. So we got a song of invitation. Brother Robert Smith, give us a song of invitation. After that, we'll come back on and take those requests.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.